Thank you for having us, Pastor Kelvin and your dear wife. It was a wonderful, intense experience, isn't it, this morning? It's good to be in a house of God which has intensity. God is attracted to intensity and He's bored by mediocrity. It was our privilege, our joy. Thank you, worship team, for that. Exhilarating and very fiery time. Thank you. We were really blessed. We really absorbed the Spirit in your midst. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God eternally settled in heaven. And today a part of it we are asking to be settled in us. That we will be changed forever. We know the power of your Word. Beyond my voice, they will hear the voice of your Word in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes. I'm reading from Philippians 3, verse 12 onwards. This was our 2020 changeover, turnover message for the year. So I just thought I'll share it with you. Philippians 3, 12. Not that I have already obtained or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. So shall we repeat the three verses, three verbs? Press on. Lay hold. Laid hold. We find it's first Christ who lays hold on us, isn't it? You remember the day Christ laid hold on you? When He laid hold on us and we came to Christ. This happened to me just before entering Colombo Medical Faculty. I was an atheist and I was raised up in an atheist home. So I had all the arguments that Darwin had, science had, at the tip of my fingers. I was arrogant, conceited, hard-headed, and then I met Hiranti. So before that I had four girlfriends. They were beautiful, intelligent. Names of those four girlfriends are physics, chemistry, botany, and zoology. I was really fully in love with those four subjects till I met Hiranti, and then she told me about Christ. Then her Youth of Christ senior said, "What is the meaning of this? You are dabbling with a heathen," because I was a heathen. But thank God, after argument for 7 months, I came to Christ quite suddenly, and Christ came to my heart. So my life completely changed. My life completely changed. Thank God my father came to Christ, my mother came to Christ, my sisters came to Christ, so our whole family came to Christ after my conversion. So this is very precious to me that Christ can lay hold of you, because He laid hold of me. So when He holds, even when we flounder, He still holds us firm, isn't it? If I may demonstrate it with Nathan, will you please come up for a demonstration? I haven't warned him, but will you put your hand up, grip my hand, grip my arm here. You grip my arm. Now, even if Nathan's arm goes limp or weak, he never lets go. You understood Christ laying hold of? He lays hold. If we also grip Him hard, then it's easy to walk together. Even through difficult times, questioning times, struggling times, He doesn't let go. And if we also hold hard on to Him, we progress faster. If we slip up, He's still faithful, but we stagnate, we delay. Thank you. So He has laid hold of us. And then I press on. I want to impress upon you that what makes us press on, the Greek is that as if inside in us is stretching outwards. Inside in us is stretching outwards. So when what presses us in, what presses into us will propel us forward. So it's important to keep check of what really presses into you. So it should be the Word of God. It should be the Holy Spirit. It should be good company, koinonia, good Christian fellowship. You get what I mean by what presses into us will press us on and will come out of us. So if you get a lot of digital junk into you, you'll become a digital junkie. That's my professional thing. That's what I have written about in my research fields. So take care about what presses into you, but that's what presses you on. Okay? So he laid hold, and what pressed into us will press us on, and then we lay hold that which for which that he laid hold us. So we also are in agreement with him that we will go on with him. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward. This is the athlete's stance, isn't it? We are always on one foot, and the next one is stretching forward, and then stretch forward. So every day, Christ has a stretch forward for us. Christ has a next place for us. Christ has a next blessing for us. So from here, already this, what you last received by testimony, is prophecy of what's going to happen next. What's going to happen next. So it can be exciting walk. It's a rewarded walk with Jesus. So that one step is prophecy for the next step. So with thanksgiving and testimony, we look forward to what is there for us next. So today, if you find yourself in a spot of stagnation, I'm asking the Lord to move us forward from here to there. You know, our country, Sri Lanka, it's the most beautiful in the world, you know. I mean, the travelogue says so. The Lonely Planet says so. They have just said that we are the island that you must visit. And if your church decides to visit our island, we have a 7-hectare campus quite close to the beach. It has a mangrove jungle and boat rides. And I mean, we are actually the Garden of Eden. We have gems. We have luscious fruit. We are completely green. We have 126 rivers. Eden had only 4. And then to complete it, we have a lot of serpents. But mostly non-venomous. So I gave you a very, very, very exciting description of why you must come to Sri Lanka. But our country plunges into trouble. So during this troubled time, God had graced us that we could speak to our president, including the present one, and given us an access to, when they get into trouble, they think God, isn't it? When they are powerful, they don't think God. But when they are in a spot of trouble, there's a door open to tell them what God is able to do that. So when you were having these terrible fires in Australia, on the 3rd of January, it got into us that the fires are vicious. Then the Lord dropped into my spirit, because your Prime Minister is such a godly person, probably the most godly head of state, isn't it? He's completely Christian. That the enemy is destroying the land, just the way the enemy wanted to destroy Job's property. Got it? So we got into prayer. Every Friday night we have a prayer night for 3, 4, 5 hours. So we took it up in earnest and we said, Lord, we want to cover the nation of Australia. And we saw a banner coming with all the names of God, and we laid it on Sri Lanka. Then we said, oh, angels of Sri Lanka, you need to cross territory and boundary and go and lay this over Australia. And then we said, oh, angels of Sri Lanka, because we have worked with them so much, we said, now please shift the rain clouds of Indonesia over Australia. We gave them a proposition that they can solve 2 problems in 1 stroke. Indonesia had floods and some parts of Malaysia also. And thank God, yesterday, or day before, there was so much rain in Sydney, I was told. So I'm praying, we are hopeful that fires would have ceased and this vicious action. But you need to pray for your Prime Minister, because when a Prime Minister is so Christian, enemy says, I'm going to destroy his property. So we hold up shields. We mind what has pressed into us, that presses us on. Then we mind what Jesus laid hold of us for, and we have also laid hold on which that Jesus has for us. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. So there's a mark, there is a prize, and there is a prize also, isn't it? For every prize, P-R-I-Z-D, there's a cost to pay. So if we don't pay the cost, we don't get the best, isn't it? You have Kmart, you have Target, you have Costco, you have... Now, I'm quite an expert on where you get the best sultanas in Australia. I am fond of sultanas. I have been from age 3 onwards. Ask me later, I'll tell you that. So there's a price for the price. And there's a mark, there's an aim. So getting ahead is about getting into what God is into and God has for us. Getting ahead means God getting into us. When we look after with the inside, God looks after what is outside. When we look after our inside, God looks after what is outside. There is a mark, there is an aim, there is a focus for the price. We all like the price. Let's attend on the mark. If not, we miss the best God has for our life. He has given us a good gift. It's from the Father of Light. Each one of us has a good gift that can take us to the King. Proverbs 18:16. None excepting. Each one has a prize that can take us to the King. Just the way David could go to the King, we can go to the King. Agreed? God is fair. God does not play favorites. It's a matter of the good gift being stretched to completion. Then we know we can serve in the highest place God always had for us. It's not a pie in the sky. That's His call for each one of us. So I want to illustrate this from, so we get ahead of the past, we need to get ahead of our humps, bumps and lumps. Where we stumble, you know, when there's a bump, we stumble on it. Sometimes we repeatedly stumble on the same things. We need to get ahead of those things. Getting ahead of dangerous curves or crooked places. Curves are where we did not know, we didn't slow down, and we went off track. We need to mind those places, the crooked places where we once went off the road. Getting ahead of rough places where we hurt others or others hurt us. Getting ahead of our valleys of depression by filling up. So there are humps and lumps and bumps. Then there are curves and crooked places. There are rough places and there are low places. We might have had this last year. Some of them we might have had for 7 years, repeatedly coming at us. The same lumps, humps, bumps. Same curves and crooked things. Same rough things. Same low things where we, you know, we feel we are down in the valley, down in the doldrums, and then we feel again and again we want to get ahead of these things that have stalled us, brought stagnation and retarded our forward blessing that God has for us. I want to take this illustration from the life of Jochebed and Amram in 1450 BC. They had been prisoners for slaves for 400 years. There were 30 good years when Joseph was known to the Pharaoh. You remember, 70 of them came, and they had grown now to 600,000 men only, and the Pharaoh was challenged, and they were slaves for 400 years. But during the last few years, since the birth of Aaron, a real cruel, brutal Pharaoh arose who wanted all the male children of Israel killed. So for 400 years, they had slavery. That are pretty bad. But the last few years, Pharaoh said, kill the male Jewish children. So if you think this is terrible, at present, doctors and lawyers and legislators kill unborn babies in abortion. So, which is worse, you think? There's no comparison. So, before we say that Pharaoh was cruel, of course he was cruel. This is happening all the time. Parents killing unborn babies. Abortion is murder. Agreed? If the church compromises on these things, these are the things that press in into us and compromise us, dilute us, reduce God in us, and then we get overcome with other things that we didn't choose for. Let me repeat. So we choose some things that with which we get pressed in. We liked it. It is okay. Then when we open the door, we get pressed in with other things that we don't want. And then we cry foul. Where is God? Governments are unfair. It's terrible. Who opened the door? We opened the door. In an area that pleased our flesh, pleased our nature. So we need to keep God constantly that we are the people of Christ, and we are now looking at Jochebed. And this is what it is said about little in the Exodus epic, a little Moses placed in an ark of bulrushes by his mom, grew up with God's help to be the deliverer of his nation Israel, which was under tyrannical Pharaoh rule for 400 years. May 2020 be the year every little and weak effort by you is multiplied by God into a large and strong impact in your sphere of influence and for your family, and we pray the same. We love our nation, Sri Lanka, very much. She's like a child that gets into all kinds of trouble that needs constant attention. So Hebrews 11:23-29, I want to capture this pathos. This little fellow was now 3 months old, and from birth he had some distinction. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. Parents took faith steps for the child because they saw that the child was beautiful, is the translation. The Greek means a child of distinction. As the child was born, parents said, we have to save this child. We have to save this child. For 3 months, they were able to hide this bonny boy. But you know, bonny boy at 3 months yells when he's hungry. And they realized, so one early morning, Moses, Jochebed and Miriam, the name Jochebed meant Yahweh is glory. Jochebed's mother just remembered that God still had glory. God was still able. So the name of Jochebed was a prophecy. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yah Kabod. Yah is Yahweh. Kabod is glory in Hebrew. So when Jochebed's parents named her, they still remembered after 400 years of misery, God must be still on the throne. Shall we say together, God must be still on the throne. When question times come, you saw the documentary, God must be still on the throne. So they named their girl child Yah Kabod, Jochebed, God is glory. It was a prophecy on her. And it's when you name a child like that, it rings in the child and it stayed with her. Now, of course, she's a mother married to Amram. And when Aaron was born, there was no problem. There was no threat on the Jewish male child. As I said, this Pharaoh got cruel just recently. And Moses was under threat. And this bonny boy, one early morning, she took heart, took courage. And with Miriam, they went to the waterway. Two women going early to water does not evoke any suspense. It's generally women who go for washing, isn't it? Agreed. They wash all the clothes. Agreed. They wash the clothes of men. And women, agreed? Yeah, so they were going there. So they wouldn't evoke any suspicion. And it was just at the crack of dawn, they were there. And they had the plan in their head. Jochebed had to choose from the bulrushes the best possible, one at a time, one at a time. Her heart is cracking. You know, she knows what she has to do. And she takes this little baby and she makes this manger of bulrushes. A boat of bulrushes, a wicker basket, you know, and lays it with pitch inside and with pitch outside, bitumen and keel together. And she puts her best clothing. I mean, she was a slave woman. She probably had very little to dress up in, but she put her best and put the baby. And she kissed him for the last time. And she put the baby with a very heavy heart. You can understand how can a mother, and already she can see the crocodiles in the River Nile. And sacrificing humans to the River Nile was part of the inhuman Egyptian ritual. To have the Nile flooding over, they had to offer blood sacrifices. You know how rivers, covenants and demons and sacrifices are connected with agricultural prosperity. She kissed him and put him inside. Just as she put the baby there, there was a God brought his mouth there and blew the little manger of bulrushes to begin the old covenant. This little breeze took it in the right direction. What was the right direction? The point at which the daughter of Pharaoh comes early morning for sacrifices and the bath. Can you see my graphic? I did a little graphic. Can you see baby Moses? Can you see the crocodiles? Can you see two hands of fire? Whose hands are those? Hands of God. Then Jochebed is in Goshen, and on the other side of the river Nile is the might of Egypt. That's right. She's on this side. We'll go back to the graphic, earlier graphic. Can you see? On the other side, she's now just putting the baby in and watching the breath of God taking the little wicker basket. She does not know where, but God knows where. Where is God taking it? To the right spot that Pharaoh's daughter will come just in a while. But she sees the might of Egypt on the other side. And here is the comparison. Yonder were the pyramids of Egypt's grandeur and mathematical brilliance. Nearer, her was Israel's kids with no education, 400 years of slavery, growing only to be slaves like their fathers, now for four generations. When will this end? Jochebed prayed a quick prayer that her son Moses, now afloat the Nile, will one day surpass Egypt's wisdom. Who's praying? Mother is praying. Oh, the little fellow. How old is the little fellow? 3 months old. But she's praying, kissing, and bidding him goodbye. Don't know whether she'll see him at all, isn't it? But she prayed a mother's prayer. Moses, she thought, seemed brighter than Aaron. Yonder were the sprawling grain fields of the Nile Delta. Nearer her was poverty, and she saw their paltry supplies. Yonder was the opulence of imperial Egypt. Nearer her, they only had the promise of God of a kingdom to come and a promised land their ancestors left 430 years prior. You know the rest of the story. The daughter of Pharaoh comes and takes a child, recognizes that it's a Jewish child, and asks for someone to feed the child, breastfeed the child. And Miriam had meanwhile, she said, I can bring you a nursing mother. And Jochebed had Moses for maybe 3 years. In those days, when you breastfeed for 3-4 years, it's natural contraception. The womb does not deliver another ovum. Did you understand what I said? Long breastfeeding provided natural contraception in those days. Anyway, Jochebed would have had Moses for about 3-4 years, isn't it? Then she had to hand over Moses to the might of imperial Egypt, not knowing what will happen to the child, other than that she prayed, she inculcated in him a sense of Yahweh, sense of God of the Israelites. You understood. Can a mother's 4-year training withstand the pressures of Egypt? Can a mother's 4-year training withstand the peer pressures of modern Australia? Jochebed was successful. So mothers, in your first 5 years, this is medical, character of a child is formed in the first 5 years. Lifelong habits are formed in the first 5 years. So those are what my books are about and how to save them from the digital influence. Maybe some other day we can have a seminar on that. But this is so important, the faith you inculcate while you breastfeed, while the child is on your lap, read into the child. Before the child gets fully, child comes under the peer pressure, school pressure, evolution pressure, and all that. You can. Jochebed had trained this child that for next 30 years, he will be in Egypt, trained as a prince of Egypt, in the warcraft and the science and all what Egypt knew, astrology and everything, but Moses kept his faith. How? What mother taught him for 4 years. Now one generation passed over faith to the next generation. Now it is Moses' time. By faith Moses, again Hebrews 11:24, by faith Moses, shall we read it together, you think? By faith Moses, when he was grown up. Now you get the characteristics of how a generation grows up. you will know whether the next generation is growing up by these five characteristics that we find in Hebrews 11:24. Because we as fathers, we are very keen to hand over to the next generation, that they will run with more vigor, they will run with greater strength, they will run further and far and achieve more. How will you know whether that is happening? Here it is. By faith, when he was grown up. So we recognize growing up of the next generation. Refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He made certain decisions about what he will refuse. And our next generation, the Gen Zs, the millennials, everybody else, have recently I wrote a prayer for the 25-year-olds, the 35-year-olds, the 45-year-olds, the 55-year-olds. Yes, your pastor was calculating my age. I am 45 plus. A few months, you know. Just about 45 plus 36 months. I stopped counting years after I was 45. No. 45 plus 240 months. That's right. My wife corrected my age, yes. So I wrote this thing for those who are passing 65. I said I want to be tall and erect, kind and useful, sensitive for as many as possible, as long as possible. For many as possible, as long as possible. So by faith, we have to refuse some things, the things that want to press into us, because what we press into us will jump out of us. So we need to take care. We need to have the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, good Christian company, pastoral care, pressing us on. So I challenge you that the world must not press into you and the world must not press you on. Let Christ press himself into you and let Christ in you be the pressure you feel. Will you say amen with you? Let Christ in you be the pressure you feel to press on for the things God has for you. So second thing is choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasure. So he chose for his life carefully. Now, remember, he's in imperial palace. Can you imagine what a palace is like? What a Pharaoh's son grows up with? What a Pharaoh is up to in an imperial court? Isn't it? It's corrupt as corrupt can be, lascivious and lustful as lustful can be. Moses is growing up there. So from his young days, he is refusing some things and he's choosing some things. Shall we say together, I refuse what is not of Christ. I choose the treasures of Christ. That is growing up, isn't it? That is growing up. In fact, if we choose the wrong things, we are not growing up, we are stunting, we are stagnating, we are going down. That's what happens to so many brain tracks with the digital world. You are dumbing the potential God gave you. We must use the screen, but we must use it smartly, isn't it? So we must be screen smart and brain bright. There's a real mission for the church to take on. So this is what happened. Then he considered the greater wealth. He considered. So not only we refuse, we choose, then we consider what our course of life will be and we go on with the choices that God makes for us and we make with God. So what is consideration? Consistently every day. So I try to get Christian families to recover the night hour, 7 p.m. Will you say it with me, 7 p.m.? Dad has come home, mom has come home, now it is home, now it is not work. You have given your digital gadget some rest. You just tell the digital gadget as you come home, 7 p.m. you are getting out of the car. Digital gadget, I have been with you for a long time, but now for the next 2 hours, I don't belong to you. I belong to you have to speak to the digital gadget, you know? Yeah. Otherwise, they possess you, isn't it? Yeah, you get tablet possessed, iPad possessed, you get Samsung possessed, you get Apple possessed. Now, Huawei is competing, yeah. I personally think it's better to get Samsung possessed than iPad possessed. But it's a personal preference, yeah. So you have to speak. So 7 p.m. is happy hour, holy hour, harvest hour. Now, here's a medical thing. Your night is more important for the brain than your day. I repeat, your night is more important for the brain than your day. At 6 p.m., you begin to secrete melatonin. There's a little pin-sized thing in the brain called the pineal body. When we were in medical faculty, they did not know the function of it. Now they know. Melatonin begins to work on your brain from 6 p.m. What is melatonin working for? Brain health, retina health, and strangely, the health of sexual organs. There's a particular cell called chromaffin cells in all organs related to the reproductive system. So when melatonin secretes properly through the night, all those organs are rehabilitated, made safe, and the brain is made safe. You get a real God-given dreams, physiological dreams. You have sleep called REM sleep and non-REM sleep, dream sleep and no dream sleep. In those 3 to 4 cycles of dream sleep, your brain is getting refurbished for the next day. So in the morning, you wake up feeling refreshed. You have had wonderful God-given sleep. Psalm 5 says, God gives his sleep for his beloved. So it's a God-given sleep. That's the time memory, collation, connection, your recall all get refurbished. And in the morning, you're ready for 24 hours. What am I saying? Watch your night with God. Job said this in Job 29, let the lamp of the Lord be shining on your head. So I took this up at consider how best you equip yourself for life and how best you equip yourself for the gift God has for you, which is a good gift, but it has to go to completion. From 14 to 24, your gift goes into completion. Your brain tracks are laid by the time it is you're 14. Your brain tracks are laid and finished. That's all you have. So parents, please protect your children's brain tracks. And then we have to directly address children. Please protect your brain tracks till 14. Brain remains neuroplastic through all your years. And you can do some things to improve neuroplasticity of the brain. But what you have at 14 is what you will have lifelong for your career, wealth potential, work potential, academic potential. Did you understand? Give me a wave if you understood. So protect your brain. Be with your brain, glorify God also. Can you see the things you have to consider in a modern age? There are many other things you have to consider. So at this point, I mean consideration is initiate, navigate to successful end conclusion till you have God's reward. And who's saying well done? First, your spirit. Your spirit is saying well done. That was good. The way you used your hour is good. You can't wait for the end of the year to do your 31st night service to have your well done, isn't it? Every hour must be well done. Give me a wave on this. Every hour must be an hour of good harvest. God has designed us like that. Every hour. Then in the night season, what he has to do with you. Bible has a lot of things to speak of the night. Protect it. Consider. So, what is having to see? He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. He was looking to the reward. Moses had an idea what God was going to do with his life. And at 40 years, he tried to begin in his own time, but he had to wait till 40. Then at 40, see the hands come again. This is Moses at 80. Hands come again. What is this scene? What does this scene look like? The burning bush. Moses is older. He has forgotten the might of Pharaoh. And when God called him, he said, I can't. You know, he had forgotten the strength of what he had learned. But God says, I will be with you. The same two hands came. Next graphic. What is this? Yes. Moses has been called. This is how it goes. Considering the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking for the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. you know, there are many kings that come against us, lure us, isn't it? Not fearing the wrath of the king, not fearing the lure of the king. Now, this king, of course, is the Fortnite king. You know Fortnite? Fortnite? You know, there are different kings now, isn't it? Fortnite king. What are the kings? Different kings, isn't it? Some kings are wrathful. Some kings are very luring, isn't it? They appeal to you. They attract you. Let none of the he endured as seeing him who is unseen. Reproach of Christ may be peer pressure, simple decisions, for he was looking to the reward. He feared God more than king. And leaving Yahweh, I want to introduce this name of Yahweh Yatsau. Are we there on the slide? Yahweh Yatsau. One more time, the graphic, if you don't mind. So this is the Red Sea here. Decided to come. And the same two hands come. Two hands that protected him when he was a little baby. Around his little manger, isn't it? The old covenant was launched with a manger of bulrushes. Who was the baby inside? Moses. New covenant was launched in another manger. Who was the baby inside? Jesus. So don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't fear the might of what is outside. Mangers always win with God. What are mangers? Those small prayers, those soft prayers, those consistent prayers. They look like mangers. They defeated the crocodiles. They defeated the might of Imperial Egypt. They defeated the ferocity of the Red Sea. And here the hands of God. You remember the Israelites are going in front. Then the pillar of fire came to the rear of them and pushed them forward. Egyptians were behind them. And these two hands made an ark of salvation, somewhat like Noah's ark. God's right hand, I'm just pictorializing it. God's right hand went like that. God's left hand went like that. Usually the seabed is not a place you can walk on, isn't it? But his feet must have gone there. And they had an ark of salvation provided. Can you imagine that, what I'm pictorializing? And 600,000 men only, which means at least 3.5 million people, all began at the River Nile with a mother's prayer saying, let my little son defeat the might of Egypt. Shall we pray together? I will ask Hiranti to come and lead us in prayer. Thank you. Father, we thank you for this assembly. Thank you for the intensity they carry. Thank you for the God birth they have. Korbande, Kiha Raha Kalabando, Kohor Yala Bande, Shikala Marabando. Pastor Kelvin, I sense God is germinating, conceiving something holy, not much known yet, but you, your people, and you are making a manger that will have the hands of God, always a fiery hand of God on your worship, on your intercession, on your word, on the future of your young people. Lord, I prophesy that the fiery hands of God take these young people into future greatness, best in their field, full potential in sports, academics, music, art, drama, in every field, in right brain fields and left brain fields, that the hands of God will surround them. Hands of God will take them. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Let's lift up our heart to the Lord. Father, we thank you for the presence of the Lord in the house this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the people of God. Thank you, Lord, that they pleased you, O God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, Lord, to all of us in the land of the living. Thank you, Lord, for each day that you have granted to us, that we may live in the fullness, Lord, for the glory of the Lord. And Father, I pray, Father God, as we commend them to your word, Lord, the word that can save them to the utmost, Lord, I pray, Father, the best that you have written in the books in heaven, Lord, the entirety of the God scope will be theirs, Lord. Father, I pray that you will download into their lives the blessing, the anointing, the grace, the goodness, the might, O God, of the hand of the Lord, Father. And I pray, Father God, that any the agenda of the evil one against them, Father, will be cancelled because of the blood of Jesus Christ that speaks up better things for them, Lord. We thank you for the good report that the blood of Christ speaks on our behalf, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for the gracing us, Lord, to choose well, choose right, to be considered in all our ways, Lord, to acknowledge you, Father, that we may be saved from this evil and perverse generation. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I pray. Amen.